Welcome to the AquariMax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 31, recorded June 14th, 2010.
Buonasera tutti, a tutti gli ascoltatori.
Everybody.
Everybody, indeed. All the listeners. Well, this is the episode you've been waiting for. And if you haven't been waiting for it...
Lucky you, you didn't have to suffer through all the...
Waiting. Well, okay.
We are going to talk about Opaiula.
Yeah, it's a Hawaiian word for a Hawaiian organism.
In fact, this organism is a shrimp.
Yes, it is also known as the Hawaiian lava shrimp, the Hawaiian red shrimp, lots of other things. Many other names are applied to it. The scientific appellation is Halocaridina rubra, which means, I think, salt shrimp red, to be literal about it.
What exactly does opaiula mean? Ula is shrimp, right?
No, opai is shrimp
opai
in
is
Hawaiian.
Shrimp. And there's ula, to say I don't speak Hawaiian.
It can mean red and it can mean lobster.
So, tell us about them. What exactly are they? I mean, we said they're shrimp, but tell us in a detailed sort of way.
They're very small shrimp. The adults are only about half an inch long, and they are red, although they change color. But when they're exposed to light, they tend to get red. And they get quite red, don't they?
They get
very red. I mean, how red do they get?
Pretty darn red. Like, I look at it and I think, hey, it's red.
It's not purple. It's not orange.
It's not pink.
It's red. So, they do get quite red. And besides being red, they are... from Hawaii. In fact, they are endemic to Hawaii. They only come from Hawaii. You can only find them in Hawaii in a natural state.
We, in fact, got ours while we lived there.
Yes.
So, why are they unique, other than the fact that they only come from Hawaii?
Well, one of the most...
What other ways are they unique?
One of the most unique things about them is their very unusual habitat. You see, these are not marine shrimp, nor are they freshwater shrimp. They are brackish shrimp, but they're not just brackish shrimp. They are shrimp that live in deep crevices in the lava that is underground, the dried, you know, ancient lava flows that are now hard... and are now permeated with all sorts of little rivulets and streams and underground water. The water is a combination of the seawater that seeps in and the rainwater that runs down from the mountains. And so it's a brackish water, but it's most of it is underground. Some of it comes to light in these small, this mixture of fresh and salt water. And they have a tidal... pull that is exerted on them, and they are sometimes, so they're sometimes fuller than other times, and they have a very interesting flora and fauna in them. They have algae that grows in them, and they have animals like the opaiula that live in them, and depending on the salinity and other things, they may be one of the very, very few animals that live in them, or there may be others that live in them. But these habitats, these ankyline pools, are quite rare in general in the world, and they're very rare in Hawaii. They used to be quite a bit more common than they are now. A lot of them have been destroyed by development or by the introduction of alien species or various other things.
Ooh, housing development.
So there aren't that very many, you know, there are not as many as there used to be. And so these shrimp's natural habitat has been somewhat compromised, we can say.
So, these pools, there are not very many of them, and they're in kind of a funky place. What lives them, then, that the shrimp eat?
Mostly algae.
It gets enough light in the little underground pools
It's the above-ground pools that they eat out of. And the above-ground pools are attached to the underground bodies of water. They go back and forth, yes.
Okay.
Apparently, they only breed in the wild state, underground. And in these underground crevices and so on that are filled with water. But they come up to the surface to feed upon the algae and such that grows there. They also will feed upon insects that fall into the pool. They'll feed on just about anything that they can get their hands on, really, any kind of organic matter. Detritus, bacteria, whatever.
So, short of buying a plane ticket and locating a rare Enkelin pond and trying to collect them in Hawaii, get them.
Well, I don't think you should actually go and collect them in Hawaii. I think there are laws against that, unless you have an aquacultural license and are you have to be cleared to be able to collect them and sell them.
So then we really can't do that. So how do people get them if they want to?
We obtained ours from a person who did have an aquaculture license and was able to obtain them that way. So I suggest highly that you do that. You must follow the proper legal channels. And there are people who will ship them, but I'm not sure if those people have the legal ability to do so. When we purchased ours in Hawaii, they were cleared to be shipped out by the USDA.
It was inside Hawaii, too. It was island to island, but it was in state.
Yes, but they were packaged to be shipped and everything, and it was okay. They had seals on them with, I believe it was USDA and everything. So that's okay. Just look into a proper legal way to get them. Going to Hawaii is a pretty good way. But if you can't do that, there are other ways, too. There are people who breed them as well, so that's another option.
So can you just, like, go online and look up Opaiula breeder?
Or? You can look up Opaiula. I would suggest the most exhaustive source that I know of, and the organization from which we obtained ours is probably one of the best places to find information.
And should we put that on the resources
food and everything?
Page?
And we'll put that on the resources page, but I will also tell you what it is. It is fukubonsai.com. That is,
you probably had to spell that.
fukubonsai.com.
No naughty words.
No. The gentleman who runs the establishment and the website also sells bonsai trees, and so that's why the website is that. But if you go there, you will find information on the Opaiula as well. Extensive information, quite a few pages. So this website also sells Opaiula full breeder habitats with the shrimp and the food and with everything that you need to get started. I don't believe that the site provides just shrimp. You need to buy the whole kit, but it's a good setup if you want to start breeding them.
Okay, so once you have your little shrimpies, what kind of a setup do you make for them in your house?
Well, they have some pretty specialized requirements, but the lovely thing is they're not that difficult. These shrimp, being so small, they can live in quite small quarters. I mean, you can keep a number of them in a half a gallon container. Maybe 20 or 30 of them, which is pretty incredible.
Because they're really little.
They're really small. But they don't need a filter. I have probably somewhere between 80 and 100 of them in how many different, four different habitats?
Three at home and one at work.
Three at home and one at work, yep. And they don't have filters in them, not air-driven filters or electrically driven filters. They have biofilters, but not driven by any sort of pump. So that's kind of neat. Basically, they need something to mimic the caves and crevices that they live in, and that can be best accomplished by something like lava rock, which is what I use. I brought a quantity home with me from that I obtained from the same company, along with my shrimp, that was helpful. The shrimp need to retire into that to be able to reproduce successfully. So you need an area like that, and that enables them to breed. Apparently, like I said, they don't breed in the wild unless they can retreat to that sort of habitat, and the same as in captivity. So you need to have a lot of crevices and dark areas afforded by this lava rock that they can hide in. They need food, of course. They eat algae in the wild. If you can get some algae to grow through light exposure of the habitat, you know, we have to control that, and not a whole lot of direct sunlight, because that can overheat it, and not too little. You can get some algae to grow in there, but that's probably not the only diet that they need. I supplement it with, once again, algae, spirulina, dried spirulina algae that I obtained from the website that I mentioned before in Hawaii. It's great stuff. And you only need to put a little pinch in there every few days and the shrimp will eat that. Well, very occasionally I'll supplement with other things, a little teeny bit of fish flake or something, some protein, things like that, for high protein fish flakes once in a while, or pellets, but not very much and not too often. And yeah, that's about it for food. The salinity of the water, they can actually survive in salinity that is 100% fresh up to more than seawater. But they do best in a salinity that is between seawater and 100% fresh water. So I usually do mine somewhere between 1 part salt water and 8 parts fresh water to 1 part salt water and 4 parts fresh water, somewhere in there. And they seem to do fine in that. They'll reproduce in that. So.
And just for water changes, do you have to just do normal water changes like a fish tank? Like, or how often do you change the water?
You don't have to do it all that often. They will reproduce still, which is kind of unusual among shrimp. You know, they like their water changes, but these shrimp don't need it very often. People have gone more than a year without water changes and still have the shrimp reproducing, which is unusual.
Just top it off.
Just topping it off with fresh water, because the salt in the salt water doesn't evaporate. So yeah, I usually do it more often than that. But even I only change water. I might do a 30 to 50% water change every 3 months or so, maybe less.
Oh, okay.
And they do really fine on that. And otherwise, other than that, I top them off. And they breed. I've noticed the water changes often stimulate reproduction. I'll see eggs more often after I do that.
And actually, it's kind of fun because our 4-year-old gets very excited whenever one of the shrimp has eggs. She loves to sit and watch them, and she's very observant, and she always runs up to Russ whenever she notices that there's a shrimp with eggs.
Yep.
She says that. She's very excited. It's cute.
All the kids notice that, especially she does, but all the kids notice it and watch it. One interesting thing about the shrimp is that they will swim around the container very actively, especially if the container is cylindrical. And they will swim around it and around it and around it, and they'll do that for hours every day. And so the habitat
mostly
looks very active.
Mostly in the same direction. Like, they all go in the same direction.
That's true, but it's not always clockwise, and it's not always counterclockwise. Usually you look one
but
day, and they'll be going one
together.
Direction. Yes, they'll be going in concert. And
it's
then
like
the next
one-way
day...
one-way traffic only.
The next day they might change direction, or they might not. And a few days later, you look again, and they're going in different directions. It's kind of weird. Interesting observation. I'm not
the
first one to have made that one.
Maybe they're just all chasing each other. I don't know.
Maybe they are. But it's interesting to notice. And you'll notice a shrimp, one of the females, carrying eggs, maybe somewhere between, I've seen a couple that are only carrying maybe 1 to 3, but most of them are carrying more than that. Some of them, maybe 20. And then several weeks later, you see their little planktonic larvae. Now, this is an interesting thing. A lot of shrimp, like red cherry shrimp, when they reproduce, their larvae are completely metamorphosed. In other words, they have the same form as the adults, they're just smaller. These shrimp are not that way. They have planktonic larvae that are suspended in the water column for several weeks. It's usually about a month to 6 weeks, somewhere. I think it depends on temperature and other factors too, because I think I've seen it less than that. How many times have ours reproduced? I don't even know.
I have no idea.
Quite a few times.
A lot.
And it takes, several weeks. The babies will be suspended in the water column, and apparently their larvae are sustained by yolk sac. They don't need to eat during that entire time. And so they're really easy to raise, because you don't need to feed them. You just let them go. And then after a few weeks, they settle down. They start sticking to the sides for short periods of time, and then pretty soon they're normal shrimp. They're just much smaller. And it doesn't take them long to grow up after that. Once they metamorphose, they start eating a lot and growing fast. So within a couple of months, they're adults, essentially. When we got here, we had somewhere around 30 or 40, right in there. And I'd say now we probably have, like I said, between 80 and 100 of them. They've reproduced quite a few times. One of the few organisms you can keep together with Opaeula, is the olive nerite. It makes a great companion for Opaeula in that it eats algae off of the glass and helps keep the glass clear, although in a way it's competing with food for the Opaeula, because they also eat that algae, but they don't remove it quite as effectively. The Opaeula don't. And so you can actually remove too much algae from the habitat that way, So you need to be careful to make sure the opale will get enough to eat. Something I'll do is rotate an olive nerite into the habitat and then out again to make sure that the opale are getting some of that algae, but that the enclosure is not totally covered. It helps keep the glass clean enough so that you can still easily view your opaula. So check out the website. I would once again entreat you, though, the website I obtained mine from is responsible in that it does not promote the use of these shrimp as fish food. Some websites sell them as fish food, and I personally, I mean, you know, you're free to decide what you want, but I personally think that because these shrimp have a compromised habitat, that feeding them as fish food is probably not the absolute best thing to do with them. So I would encourage you instead to keep them as a unique creature if you're going to try to keep them and have them reproduce so that we can have a healthy captive population of them and reduce pressure on wild populations. Have fun with them. They're really low maintenance. If you go on vacation for a month, you can leave them and they will subsist on the algae and whatnot that they find in their enclosure and be just fine when you come back. There are people you may have seen selling these in sealed ecosystems, as it were, where the shrimp can subsist for years in there. I do not recommend those. The shrimp do not typically reproduce in there, which is a sign that they're not doing all that well in there. I believe that they don't get enough food in there. Personally, they don't get enough food in there, and that the conditions are not optimal for them. So an open container where they can get free gas exchange and where they can be regularly fed is a good way to do it. So check out fukubonsai, fukubonsai.com. Learn more about them if you'd like to. And there are other websites out there too. By the way, that website's not paying me to say that, just so you know. And enjoy your opaula.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions that may be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.